Good morning. Today we're going to, I know there's hymns and an order of service in the bulletin, but we're going to modify that a little bit. And we're going to use the TLH, which is either blue or red in your seats. And we're going to use page 5. Since we have an organist or pianist today, we will read the responses in the liturgy instead of singing them. For our hymns today, I did something with the hymns. For our hymns today, we'll begin with, we're going to use some easier ones. We will begin with hymn number 14, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And you will have to pardon me if I start too low, because I tend to do that. And Christina, I just had explained that we're going to use the TLH, which is either the blue or the red one that's back there, and we're going to use the page five liturgy today and read the responses, because we don't have a musician to play for us. But with that, if you would join me in singing All People That on Earth Do Dwell. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The Lord ye know is God indeed. Without our aid he did us make. We are his folk, he doth us feed. And for his sheep he doth us take. Oh, enter then his gates with praise. Approach with joy his courts unto. Praise, laud, and bless his name always. For it is seemly so to do. For why the Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure, his truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. And I ask you to please stand. To Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God whom heaven and earth adore, from men and from the angel host, be praise and glory evermore. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only begotten Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. For our intro today, if you would turn to the inside of your bulletin, we will read Psalm number 27 in unison. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. We beseech thee, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson for today is recorded in Genesis chapter 17, beginning at the first verse. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after me in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin,
And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. And all the men of his house, born in the house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. I ask you to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Our gospel lesson for today is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 8, beginning at the 37th verse. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Here ends our reading of the Holy Gospel. We join in confessing our faith. We do so today in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 12, I believe it is, 12 of the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We sing hymn 145, which is Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. Jesus, Refuge of the Weary, blessed Redeemer whom we love, Fountain in life's desert dreary, Savior from the world above. Oh, how oft thine eyes offended gaze upon the sinner's fall, yet upon the cross extended thou didst bear the pain of all. Do we pass that cross unheeding, breathing no repentant vow? Though we see thee wounded bleeding, see thy thorn-encircled brow, yet thy sinless death hath brought us life eternal, peace and rest. Only what thy grace hath taught us calms the sinner's stormy breast. Jesus, may our hearts be burning with more fervent love for thee. May our eyes be ever turning to thy cross of agony. till in glory parted never from the blessed Savior's side, graven in our hearts forever, dwell the cross, the crucified. Amen. I ask you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we pray your Holy Spirit's blessing upon the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and hold fast to him, that we might not depend upon our own works under the law, but depend upon the completed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he suffered and died on the cross and said, "It is finished." We pray your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God which we consider today is continuing in Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Here it says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification." As we saw last week when we talked about how are we just and righteous in God's eyes, we see that it is not by the works of the law, but rather that it is through faith in Jesus Christ. And St. Paul offers the example of Abraham. How was Abraham justified? Again, it says in Genesis 15 that Abraham believed God, talking about the promises that God made that he would bless him and make of him a great nation, that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. And it says Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And so righteousness was credited to him. It wasn't his own righteousness, but the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it asks the question, well, when was Abraham justified? Was it while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Well, it was years before he was circumcised. And so Abraham was justified by God through faith even before he was circumcised or received circumcision, the sign of this covenant. We looked at David. How was David justified? You know, David in Psalm 32 says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." And so through the non-imputation of sin, or not charging him with sin, but forgiving him, David was justified. Again, not by his own works, because he had already failed. He had already committed adultery. He had already committed murder in sending Uriah to the forefront of the battle to be killed, but he was justified through faith in the promises of God. In our text for today, it continues in that line of thought by saying, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." It's why in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says that you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. He talks about that there will be neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. And he goes on that we are heirs with Abraham of the promises. And so the promises made to Abraham that he would inherit all things apply to all who have the faith of Abraham, all who trust in God's promises to send a Messiah and Savior, all who trust in that Messiah, Jesus Christ, who has come and suffered and died on the cross for our sins. And so it says, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect." If in order to inherit the blessings God promised to Abraham, if in order to inherit the blessing of eternal life is according to the law, by our keeping of the commandments, it makes faith void or empty, useless. And of course, the end result is it condemns us all because, as we've already seen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us measure up. There's none who does good. No, not one. And so it continues to explain, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Of course, the word transgression indicates that there is a law to go beyond. There is a line drawn and said, you know, you should do this or you should not do this. To transgress that is to go over or beyond the line, to break that commandment. So if there's no commandment, you can't transgress a commandment that does not exist. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." And so, as it says, it is of faith that it might be by grace. I don't know how many times I've asked people, you know, if you were to die tonight or Jesus were to come back today, would you go to heaven? And the answer that I seem to repeatedly hear is, well, I hope so. I've tried to live a good life. I've done my best to keep God's commandments. And sometimes even, well, I've done better than others, done better than others who call themselves Christians. But if the promise is by the law, we can never be certain that we have done enough. And in fact, if we read the scriptures, we will see we have not done enough. We have not kept God's law perfectly as he requires. But since it is through faith in Jesus Christ who kept God's law perfectly in our stead, in his thoughts, his desires, his words, his actions, and then went to the cross and paid in full, made atonement for the sins of the world, since it is by faith in Jesus, we could answer that question. Yes, I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Not because of anything I've done. I've sinned. I've failed. I don't deserve to be there. I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus kept the law for me and he paid the price for my sins. And through faith in Jesus, God forgives me and accepts me as his child, and he makes me an heir of the promise given to Abraham. And it goes on, you know, as it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." And so God pardoned Abraham, forgave his sins, and the Christ had not even come yet. But Abraham trusted in the promise of God, and God forgave his sins for the sake of Jesus, who would come and pay the price for his sins. And it says of Abraham, "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your seed be, from Genesis 15:5. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I read to you from Genesis 17 today so that you would see, you know, initially when God told Abraham all these things that he would do, God says, you know, he laughed, and Abraham's laughed and says, you know, bless Ishmael. Because Abraham saw he was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. And Sarah already was barren all the years when she normally could have had children. And so, hope against hope. You know, Abraham said, you know, this is not going to happen. This is not possible. And God said, no, it's not going to be through Ishmael. I'll bless Ishmael. I'll make of him a great nation. But I'm going to give you a child next year about this time through Sarah. And in that way, through the promise of God, he strengthened Abraham's faith. So instead of having doubts and thinking, well, it would have to be through Ishmael, Abraham believed the promise of God, and he believed that God would indeed give him a son through his wife, Sarah. And in fact, I always think it's so fascinating that God changed Abram and Sarai's name to indicate what he was about to do. And so Abram, which means an exalted father, is now Abraham, the father of nations. And as I said last week, you can just imagine what his friends might have thought when, you know, he happened to see them and they said, oh, hello, Abram. He said, no, my name's not Abram anymore. It's not exalted father. It's Abraham, the father of nations. You know, they might have thought he was just a little bit off his rocker. And Sarai's name was changed to Sarah, which indicated she was going to be a princess over, you know, all these nations. So she's the mother of these nations. But Abraham believed the promise of God, hope against hope. His faith was strengthened, and he held on to that promise that God would make of him a great nation, that through him he would bless, through one of his descendants, he would bless all the nations of the earth. And of course, that's what God did when he sent Jesus Christ, born of the seed of Abraham after the flesh, but the Son of God. And Jesus, God, true God, begotten of the Father, also true man, you know, born of the Virgin Mary, became man, and he fulfilled the law for us. He died in our place. He paid the price for our sins that we might look to him in faith and be forgiven. Now, many of us might also think of that example. You know, when we hear that our sins are forgiven because Jesus suffered and died and paid the price, and that when we look to Jesus in faith, we have forgiveness, we might hear that and say, well, can my sins really be forgiven? But God gives us that promise, and we repeat those promises again and again each Sunday so that our faith is strengthened, and hope against hope, something which is not clear to us as we, you know, reason in our worldly minds or as we see with, you know, these earthly eyes. But we believe the promise of God that indeed God forgives and accepts us. Many times we may not live like that. You know, we may come and say, well, yes, I believe in Jesus, but we go out in fear that God is going to judge us and condemn us on the last day. Or we live our lives afraid that when we die, we might not go to heaven. That's why we continue to hear the promises of God's word that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world to strengthen our faith that we might believe like Abraham did and be justified through faith in our Lord Jesus. The last verses of our text, I think, are really important. You know, it points out that it was accounted to him for righteousness, but then it says, Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed with the New King James translation there, because they break up the sentence. Literally, this passage says in the Greek, but also for us to whom it shall be imputed. I don't know whether if or when is a good word to use here, like the King James does. To who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. But it points out that the promise given to Abraham and the word of God that says righteousness was imputed to him by faith was not just written for Abraham. In fact, you know, these words of scripture were recorded by Moses hundreds of years later. But it was written for you and me so that we would believe, as Abraham did, that God, when we trust in Jesus, will impute to us or credit to us the righteousness of Jesus. These words were written so that we would place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the righteousness he won for us by his holy life, and receive the forgiveness he won for us when he suffered and died on the cross and paid in full for our sins. And so it says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us, but also for us, to whom it shall be imputed, who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Jesus was delivered up not because he sinned, but because you and I are sinners. He suffered and died not for his sins, but for our sins, the sins of the world. As it says in Isaiah, you know, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So he suffered and died to pay the price for our sins. And he was raised because of our justification. Dia can also be translated for, with the goal of our justification, which is really what the passage here means. Jesus' resurrection proves, since all our sins were laid upon him, since he was punished on the cross for the sins of the world, Jesus' resurrection proves the price is paid. God's wrath is satisfied. God now has forgiveness for all people. And he offers and gives that to us. He extends that to us in the gospel. And if we but believe the promise of God, he credits it to each one of us. So that through faith in Jesus Christ, though we are sinners, Jesus died. He paid the price for our sins. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are accounted righteous, holy, acceptable. I always think of that passage in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, we have been made accepted in the beloved. We are acceptable to God. Before we were unacceptable, but through faith in Jesus, we are acceptable to God, and he takes us as his own dear children. And we, with Abraham, are heirs of the promise that we will be God's people, that he will give us the land, not just talking about that land there, but he's talking about an eternal home with him in God's everlasting kingdom. And again, how do we receive that? It's not by works of the law, because if it were, we could never be certain. In fact, it would disqualify, it would void grace, and our own sins would disqualify us from receiving the inheritance. But through faith in Jesus, we who are unworthy, we are guilty, we who are deserving of God's wrath, are pardoned, forgiven, and credited with righteousness. God grant that we, like Abraham, believe the promises of God, hope against hope, and hold fast to Jesus, that we might, with Abraham, be justified and counted righteous in God's sight. Amen. I ask you to please stand. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I think we could sing the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. You may be seated at this time. We will bring forward our offerings. I invite you to please stand and join the prayers of the church. Almighty and everlasting God, who art worthy to be had in reverence by all the children of men, we give thee most humble and hearty thanks for the innumerable blessings, both temporal and spiritual, which, without any merit or worthiness in our part, thou hast bestowed upon us. We praise thee especially that thou hast preserved unto us in their purity thy saving word and the sacred ordinances of thy house. And we beseech thee, O Lord, to preserve and extend thy kingdom of grace, and to grant unto thy holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors who shall preach thy word with power, and help all who hear rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send forth laborers into thy harvest, and open the door of faith unto all the heathen and unto all the people of Israel. In mercy, remember the enemies of thy church, and grant unto them repentance unto life. Be thou the protector and defender of thy people in all time of tribulation and danger, and may we, in communion with thy church, and in brotherly unity with all our fellow Christians, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow thy grace upon all the nations of the earth, especially do we entreat thee to bless our land and all its inhabitants and all who are in authority. Cause thy glory to dwell among us, and let thy mercy and truth, righteousness and peace everywhere prevail. To this end we commend to thy care all our schools, and pray thee to make them nurseries of useful knowledge and Christian virtues, that they may bring forth the wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamities by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine. Protect and prosper everyone in his appropriate calling, and cause all useful arts to flourish among us. Be thou the God and Father, the widow and the fatherless children, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the forsaken and distressed. Accept, we beseech thee, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before thee, which is our reasonable service. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work thou hast given us to do while it is day,
before the night cometh when no man can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by thy power, and receive us into thine everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. If you would turn in your hymnal to 644, and you may not even need to turn there. We all, I believe, know this. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated. Well, welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As far as announcements, next Sunday, we are scheduled to have our congregational meeting and a potluck dinner following the service. I had planned also for Good Friday worship for 7 p.m. on Friday, April 7th. My plan was just to do it as a service of hymns and scripture readings. Not exactly sure what plans are as far as next Sunday, but we'll figure that out and get it sent out to everybody so we know beforehand, or you will know beforehand. Any other announcements this morning? If not, again, God's richest blessings to you and your Lord Jesus Christ, and hold on to the faith of Abraham. Believe the promises of God, that in Jesus Christ you have forgiveness and life. Thank you.